is Go Beyond, the teaching and preaching ministry with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, please come and visit us. Let's now join in with the Judah Ministries praise team at the Worship Center.
It's a new season, and it's a new day, a fresh anointing is flowing. Prosperity.
Praise Him!
Oh yeah!
Magnify the Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I pray that everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope by now that you're over your turkey coma. Everybody get a turkey coma on Thursday? Thursday was a special day. I took a nap before dinner and after dinner. Come on, do I get a witness in the house? Naps are a beautiful thing. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Well, listen, since we're in the season of Thanksgiving, I'd like to take this opportunity to speak not only about the holiday, but more importantly about us as the church having an attitude of Thanksgiving. However, unfortunately, we're living in a day whereby more people have an ungrateful spirit rather than a grateful spirit. Watch 2 Timothy 3, verses 2 and 3, if you could throw that up there. This is being fulfilled right before our very eyes. Watch. People will be lovers of themselves, huh? Lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. There's an ungrateful people in the earth today. It goes on to say, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. Now, listen, how many of you agree this is how the world looks today? But listen to me. This is not how the church should look. Somebody say amen. Amen. We should not represent that list that I just went down. We should have a whole new look as followers of Christ. If the Holy Spirit is living in you, if the Holy Spirit is living in me, we should not be lovers of ourselves. We should put others first. Amen. We should not be boastful and proud, but we should be filled with grace and humility. Not ungrateful, but we should be forgiving and eager to forgive and hearts filled with thanksgiving. It's your attitude of gratitude that many times will determine our spiritual altitude. Somebody say amen. And this attitude of gratitude needs to be taught not only to our children, but to our grandchildren. How many of you know gratefulness is taught? It's taught. You teach your child to be grateful. I thank God for my wife. Because since the time our children were babies, they taught them to say, thank you. Thank you for anything. A little piece of gum, thank you. You learn to be grateful because we live today in a society that none of these children are thankful. So let's take a look about Thanksgiving, the celebration in the USA today. So allow me to give you a brief history lesson of the genesis of the celebration that we call Thanksgiving. Let me give you the reason why we all just gorged ourselves with turkey stuffing and sweet potato pie. Amen? Here's a brief summary. In the early 1600s, the Separatists, the Puritans, and the Pilgrims made their way to the shores of the United States of America. Their main purpose of their leaving England and traveling to the New England, if you will, was because of their desire for freedom of worship. They were looking for a place to worship. This is unequivocally evident in the first legal document drafted on the Mayflower before they even touched the shore, known as the Mayflower Compact. Some of you might remember this from school, but let me read it to you. It says, in the name of God, amen, we whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, France, Ireland, the King Defender of the Faith, etc., having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancements of the Christian faith and the honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in northern parts of Virginia, although they ended up in Massachusetts, do by these presents solemnly and mutually in the presence of our God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic. So in other words, even before they put their feet on the shore of this nation, they recognized and they said, to the glory of God, we are going to advance the Christian faith by the grace of God and in the presence of God. They recognized it was grace of God for the glory of God in his presence to advance the gospel. The early settlers came to our nation to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their purpose was to evangelize. Come on, is somebody hearing me? They had a purpose of a missionary. They were obeying Matthew 28 when it says, take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. And how many of you know, back in 1600, the United States was the uttermost parts of the earth. So they were obeying Matthew 28. Not only did they desire to spread the gospel, they desired the freedom of worship. The Church of England was and still is run with a monarchy, with a king as the supreme governor over the church. They did not want a state-run church. Amen. Mm. Would anybody in this house want our president to be over the church? All right. That was for all you Republicans. Here's for the Democrats. Who would want Donald Trump over the church? Yeah. Ah, see, we got a nice mixed crowd here. That's the way we like it. Amen. Because we're an equal opportunity offender here. Listen, the point is, there is no king other than Jesus Christ that should rule over the church of God. Come on, somebody in this house, give our God a praise. My God. That's why, listen, our very first amendment, not the 8th, not the 9th, not the 15th, but the first amendment states this: Congress shall make no law. Somebody say no law. Respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So the government do not tell us, listen, to keep our doors closed because of a pandemic. Oh, some of y'all just missed that there. But I don't know, my Bible says, forsake not the gathering of the saints, as some are in the habit of doing. So we need to be in the house of the Lord. We need to be flesh against flesh. We need to be eyeball to eyeball. I need to wrap my loving arms around you and tell you that I love you and Jesus loved you and everything's going to be okay. I know you're going, I can't do that through a camera. I can only touch. Y'all hearing me? So no matter what the king says to shut your doors, no, we will not shut our doors in the name of Jesus Christ. My God. Now, just an FYI here, somebody. The First Amendment was to keep the government out of the church. Not to keep the church out of the government. I hope y'all heard that. How many of you know we could use some salt in the government? We could use some light, because we're the salt and the light of the earth. We could use some Holy Ghost, devil stomping, tongue talking saints in the Congress, in the White House. Now, with the invention of the Gutenberg Press in the 15th century, Bibles were becoming available to the common man. Therefore, we had the first English Bible in 1611. Many of you still read it. It's called the King James Version. That came in 1611. So with the spreading of God's word, his written word, the people began discovering God's truths for themselves. And how many of you know the truth will set you free? So they wanted to worship however, whenever, wherever, and with whomever they wanted to. They did not want the state telling them who they could worship, where they could worship. They didn't want the state telling, no, 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 you're black, you have to go here. No, 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 you're white, you have to. Come on, is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Government, stay out of the church's business. They discovered that a secular government should not oversee and run the church of Jesus Christ. Because in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says the church should rather be run by elders and deacons that are filled with the Holy Spirit. However, during their journey to the shores of America in 1620, as well as the winter season in the new land, many of them lost their lives, the pilgrims. 50% of them died during the first year. 50 out of 100 pilgrims lost their lives during this transition, during this birth of this great nation. So I said all that to say, listen, we need to be grateful. We're talking about giving thanks. We need to be grateful for their sacrifice. And as crazy as America seems right now, and even the world. How many of you know America is upside down right now? It's crazy right now. As crazy as it seems, I don't think any of us want to return to our land of origin. I have no interest in returning back to Europe. No, none, zero, nada. I have no desire to learn that thing. And the beautiful thing about the USA, if you think that the grass is greener on the other side, there are no walls around the USA keeping you in. You're free to go. And like we like to say, and when you leave, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Come on, somebody. Listen, just 90 miles off the coast of Florida, there's a beautiful island, beaches, weather's gorgeous. Ain't nobody breaking walls down to get into Cuba, honey. Nobody's breaking down those walls. If you like colder weather, if you like to ski, if you like hockey, you could go to our northern border. The Rainbow Bridge is open. You're free to go. They made it rainbow, so you'll LGBTQ will feel comfortable going over it. You could go to Canada. Nobody's keeping you out. It's only the United States of America, because God has blessed this country centuries ago. And there's a whole lot of reasons we don't have time to get into that now, but we can see that the walls are falling down because this prophetic word will be fulfilled. And one day, as I know, as hard as it seems, that the United States will turn its back on Israel, unfortunately. But thank God we as the church will never. Oh, I don't know, maybe you missed that there. The church will never turn its back. So even in the middle of all this tragedy and despair, losing loved ones, their children were dying. 50 of the pilgrims and about 90 Indians had a harvest festival for 3 days, and they recognized God our Father and His Son Jesus Christ for their provision. I want to give you an excerpt of the governor's letter. This gentleman's name is Edward Winslow. He was the governor, and he wrote this. He said, at which time, amongst other recreations, he was talking about their celebration. He said, we exercised our arms, many of the Indians coming amongst us, and among us, their greatest king, Massasoit, with some 90 men, whom for 3 days we entertained and feasted. They went out and killed 5 deer. They brought to the plantation and bestowed upon our governor and upon our captain and others. And although it be not always so plentiful as it was at this time with us, yet by the goodness of God, we are so far from want. Could you imagine that? I mean, after their first year going through all the death and everything that they came across with the winter and everything, they still said, listen, we are filled because of the goodness of God. We have no want. So in the middle of their immense struggle, listen, they took time to worship. They took time to pray. They took time to give thanks to Almighty God. They understood the biblical principle found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and 18, where it says, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Yes. Listen, church, you know, you hear people saying all the time, oh, what's God's will? I want to know God's will. Here it is. Give thanks in all circumstances. In all things, give thanks. That's God's will for your life. Giving thanks is something that's taught. It's something that we exercise, because it's very easy to be negative. How many know it's easy to be negative? It's not easy to say thanks when the storm winds are blowing in your life. Come on, somebody. So contrary to what is now being propagated by the media and taught in many of our schools, this is the foundation of our nation. It was founded on prayer. It was founded on worship. It was founded on evangelism. It was founded on the Word of God. It was founded in Judeo-Christian principles and founded in Thanksgiving. Let's continue on with some American history. Roughly 150 years later, after the Revolutionary War, we break free from England and we become a nation in 1776. That's a long time ago. How many of you know that? Do you know, here's a little fun fact for you. The congregation of this church here was founded in 1784. Wow. Not this building. The congregation eventually built this building. This is the fourth structure here. They built the first building in 1811. Tore it down. They eventually got to a fourth structure. But the congregation that we are still here has been preaching the gospel for, I don't know, what's my math, 230 years, 240 years on this corner in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. Somebody needs to give God a praise. That's a long time. That's a long time. So after that time, the Civil War breaks out in 1861. The darkest hours of the war in 1864, a Holy Ghost-filled president named Abraham Lincoln, see, they won't tell you about his faith in schools today. He made a national proclamation, which partially reads, says, "Now therefore I, Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States, do hereby appoint and set apart the last Thursday in November next as a day which I deserve to be observed by all my fellow citizens, wherever they may be, as a day of thanksgiving and praise to who? Almighty God, the beneficent creator and ruler of the universe." This is our foundation, saints of God. This is our foundation. So once again, in the middle of immense tragedy, brother fighting against brother, losing more Americans in a war than any other war ever, even to this very day, the President of the United States sets aside a day to recognize that God is our Father. He is the God and the creator of the universe. And whatever we're going through, no matter how dark the night is, come on, I'm trying to preach to somebody right now, he still deserves our thanksgiving. He still deserves our praise. He still deserves our worship. He still deserves us lifting up our hands. Doesn't matter what we're going through, he's worthy. So why don't they teach that in our schools today, huh? Because it's not politically correct. Some little snowflake might get offended that they mentioned the word God. They might have to send them off into a quiet, padded room with their little coloring book or something. That's the day that we're living in, saints of God. No. Here's what our government would rather do today. They'd rather indoctrinate your 8-year-old and tell them that they can now choose their gender, whether they want to be a man or a girl. So Abraham Lincoln goes on in his proclamation to encourage every fellow citizen to humble themselves. Could you imagine a politician today, any politician, humbling themselves? There's so much pride stuck up in there. They will not ever, ever, ever will you hear a politician say, I was wrong. I sinned. Well, they'll never use the word sin because now they have to admit that there's a God. Well, they can never say that. But Abraham Lincoln said, we need to humble ourselves and pray with supplication for harmony and unity to return throughout the land that God Almighty gave us. God Almighty established the United States of America. If you don't believe that, you could read it in your Bible. Don't do it now, but it's in Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Go look it up later. Now, how many of you know we could use some prayer and fasting for unity in the USA today? Oh, my. Huh? You see, Lincoln was a student of the Bible, and he understood something. He understood Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, if my people, which are called by my name, huh? If they will humble themselves, if they would pray, here's a good one, if they would, my people would turn from their wicked ways.
Yes.
It's conditional. Then God Almighty says, I will hear. But you got to humble yourself, honey, Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We got to humble ourselves and pray. Not this little drive-by prayer that we do. Father, in the name of Jesus, let me find a nice close parking space. Amen. We're talking about fervent, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Don't leave out the word fervent. If we will humble ourselves and pray and turn from the wicked, then I will heal you. Then I will deliver you. Then I will heal your nation. Then I will heal your message or your marriage. Come on, somebody hear me. I will heal your family. Siblings fighting against, humble yourselves. Pray. Turn from your selfishness. I'll heal your family. Oh, is somebody hearing this morning? My. History tells us that 1 year later in 1865, the Confederate Army surrendered and we became one nation under God. And with the Emancipation Proclamation, slaves were set free. And listen, this was just the first step of living up to our Constitution that states that all men are created equal. That's what our Constitution says. It's based out of Imago Dei. We're all created equal. You see, our founding forefathers kind of had that all twisted at first. But come on, somebody, thank God we eventually got it right. We're talking about, listen, church, giving thanks in all things, having a grateful heart. Could you imagine how many uprisings and resistance there would be today if a president tried to make a national proclamation to set aside a national day to recognize our God, namely Jesus Christ, with prayer? Could you imagine? Could you imagine if some politician wants to make a national day here or a state day in Pennsylvania, if the governor said, we're going to have a day where everybody's going to worship Jesus. One day, we're going to have a day, we're going to have prayer and fasting unto God and his son, Jesus. See, a lot of people like to use that word God. You can't use the word God anymore because God is misinterpreted. See, God could be the tree. God could be your bank account. God could be a whole number of things. But that's why you've got to put the name Yeshua. You got to put the name Jesus with it. Listen, we're living in today where the tables have been turned upside down. Down is up. Up is down. We've taken prayer out of school, so now we have clubs of Satanism in school. We've taken prayer out of school. Now we have our kids going through metal detectors. Oh, somebody hearing me. We've taken prayer out of school. Now our daycare or our high schools have daycares in them because of teenage pregnancy. Come on, I know there's some seasoned saints in this house. How many of you remember there used to be a day when none of those things existed? Because there was prayer in school. My God. But Isaiah 5 and 20 says, woe to them. Woe means cursed are you who call evil good and good evil. Cursed are you who call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. Cursed are you who call men women and women men. Watch this. Matthew chapter 18, verses 6 and 7. This is Jesus speaking. If anyone, let me say that again. If anyone causes one of these little ones, that's not talking about children only. It means children and believers in the Lord. Hit God's children. Are you following me? Watch now. If anyone causes any of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Verse 7, cursed to the world because the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come. We know that prophetically, but watch this. But cursed is the person through whom they come. That's a strong word there, y'all. The Bible says, cursed are these teacher unions who propagate this nonsense in our schools today. Cursed are the school boards who endorse this transgenderism. Jesus said, cursed are those governors and politicians, and might I even say pastors, who condone all of this wickedness and vileness and this debauchery that is going on in the world today. Jesus says, cursed are the people who propagate it. Oh, I know this is not a popular message. I'm not, my God, I'm not called to preach popular messages. I'm called to preach the Word of God. If you think about it, really, how many past presidents have you ever really heard invoke the name of Jesus Christ? When they say, oh, Jesus, be high, high and lifted up. No, no, no. They all yell, God bless America. Well, their God could be anything. In our current pluralistic society, with all these loony, woke, socialistic, communistic, antichrist activists that are now so brazen that they even hold up signs that say, F Jesus. Come on, did you hear what I said? The courts would be overrun with lawsuits should a politician invoke the name of Jesus. But the lesson for us saints of God, in all things, as dark as the night seems, as dark as the night seems, we need to give thanks in all things. There is power in your thanksgiving. I'm speaking of thanksgiving as a verb and not a noun. Let me explain that to you. It's an action, not an event. There's no power in stuffing your face with turkey stuffing and yams. I need power in thanksgiving, Pastor, so I'm having my fourth slice of sweet potato pie. I need some power. No. It doesn't come from that. It comes from thanksgiving, not what goes into your mouth. Oh, come on, I'm preaching now. But what comes out of your mouth. I'm speaking about having an attitude of gratitude. First off, how many of you know that Thanksgiving isn't just a day or a season for the true believer in Jesus Christ? We shouldn't be just giving thanks on the fourth Thursday in November. If that's the only time, my friend, if that's the only time you give thanks, you got a long way to go. As believers in Christ, we should give thanks every day. When you wake up in the morning, you should give thanks. When you go to your noonday, you should give thanks. When you lay your head down at night, you should... Come on, somebody, you should be giving thanks to Almighty God. Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. It's an attitude, meaning to be grateful, meaning that you're appreciative. These are attitudes, and they are not contingent. They are not contingent on what you have, what your circumstances are. Thanksgiving is a choice that we make. As I've been privileged to travel the world, we go into some of these little villages where people have nothing, and we bring some bags of stuff and we give out these little toiletries, little tubes of toothpaste or deodorant, and the people there are so happy. They're ear to ear smiles, grabbing their little tube of toothpaste and just holding it with both hands like you just given them $1 million. Oh, you're hearing me. They're grateful. They're thankful. They're hugging on you. They're showing all their friends everything. Could you imagine giving some 13-year-old a little tube of toothpaste like that in America? They'd be like, what up? What am I going to do with that? Keep it. Do you see the shift? We need to be grateful. We're living in a day today where we're raising up our children to have an entitlement mentality. I'm owed. You ain't owed nothing. Nobody owes you anything. Listen, the pilgrims had a whole lot to complain about, but they chose to give thanks. Abraham Lincoln had plenty to complain about, plenty to worry about. But listen, somebody, he chose to give thanks. The question is, in the middle of whatever you're going through, will you choose to give thanks? Now listen to me. Let me make this clear, because you don't thank God for the doctor's report that you received. But in the middle of receiving the doctor's report, you can throw your hands up and say, Lord, whatever comes my way, I'm going to thank you, Jesus. You don't give thanks for the divorce papers that you received, but in the middle of receiving those papers, you can bow down, you can lift up your hands, and you can say, Jesus, I thank you in the middle of my storm. When you get fired, you don't say, thank you, Jesus, that I got fired, but in the middle of your firing, you can say, thank you, Almighty God, because I know that you're my provider, you're my healer, you're my strong shield. Come on, somebody in the house of Judah, give our God a praise.
Pastor Michael will be right back with today's message. If you would like to hear or watch other messages by Pastor Michael on your computer or electronic device, or learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at www.judahministries.net and click on Go Beyond. Now let's get back to today's message.
My God, Paul the Apostle was beaten, flogged, received 39 lashes five different times. He was stoned, shipwrecked, gone without sleep, gone without food. He was in prison for preaching the gospel. Yet, he writes to the Philippians from a prison cell. He writes, in all things, give thanks. Let's read that scripture, Caleb. Philippians chapter 4. Watch. Paul writes, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'm going to say it, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is close. He's nice and close to you. Don't be anxious about most things. No. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer, by petition, here it is, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Here's the answer. Here's the then. Here's what happens when we come to God like that. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So I want to encourage somebody today, if you need the peace of God in your life, then I want you to begin to thank God. I want you to begin to give Him thanks. I want you to build a tabernacle of praise. Because how many of you know when we begin to praise God, blessings don't come down? No. It's more than that. When we praise God, my Bible says the blesser. Because when the blesser comes down, he has everything that I need. He has the shalom, the peace. He has my healing. He has my resolution to my conflict, whatever I'm going through. And that comes by giving thanks and building a tabernacle of praise. Come on, somebody. Listen, trials and tribulations, challenges in this life, they're inevitable. They're going to happen. Nobody is going to escape them. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not getting out of this. No, it's coming. It's coming. You might be right in the middle of it right now. If you're not, it's coming. You might be on your way out, but thank God. But there's another storm coming. Come on, somebody. It's predestined. Why? Here, look, listen to what Jesus said. He said, in this world, you will, not you might, you will have tribulation. But I have overcome the tribulation? No. I've overcome the world. He is our deliverer. So we must choose to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians again. Let's read it again. We read it earlier. Rejoice. How often? Always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let me break some news to somebody here today. If you're miserable, it's your choice. Amen. All right, now. Let me say that one more time because I want to make sure that nobody misses that. If you're miserable, it's your choice. You choose the misery. It's called free will in your Bible. So you can choose to be miserable or you can choose to be thankful. You've got to be one or the other. You cannot, listen, my friend, be both. They are diametrically opposed. Nobody can be thankfully miserable or miserably thankful. Y'all got it. Choose one. You better choose one. How many of you know we can't worship and worry? They're diametrically opposed. Oh, God, I worship you, but my bills aren't paid. Oh, God. You can't worry and worship. You can't have, oh, my God. You cannot operate in faith and fear at the same time. One is going to overtake the other. This is binary, somebody. So you either have to be miserable or you have to choose to be thankful. The reason the Israelites spent 40 years in the desert, read the book of Exodus, you'll read about this. The reason why is because they murmured constantly. They were always complaining. Instead of thanking God for delivering them from 400 years of slavery, they complained about not having the slave food that they had back in Egypt. Well, at least back there we had leeks and onions. But they were set free. How many people get set free from drugs and alcohol and all these promiscuous relationships? Oh, but back there, I used to.
Right.
Desiring the things of this world. Listen, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. You need to remain in that freedom, somebody. But it's our choice that takes us back there sometimes. However, if you want to come out of that dry place that you're in, if you want out, it's called the highway of thanksgiving. You need to repent and change your thinking. You need to change your attitude. You need to change your speech. Because how many of you know there's power in your tongue? The Bible says, come on, your tongue has the power of life and death. What are you speaking? Are you murmuring or are you giving thanks? Are you complaining or are you giving thanks? Are you complaining about or are you grateful for all the little things that you have? We're talking about having an attitude of gratitude. Let me wrap this up right here. Psalms 100, verse 4. Many of you know this. There's been lots of songs written out of this verse. It says, I'm going to enter his gates with what? With thanksgiving. I'm going to enter his courts with
praise.
Be
thankful
unto him and
bless
his name. Let me break this down for you. This is a four-step protocol. The Bible says I'm going to enter his gates with thanksgiving. The word is talda in the Hebrew language. A talda is just a little giving of thanks almost under your breath. In other words, when you're just walking in the store, I thank you, Jesus. I bless your name. As you're shopping, I bless you. I thank you, Jesus. You're driving your car. Oh, I worship you, Lord. Nobody's around. It's not big. It's not showful. It's just, hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus, that I have the money to buy my groceries today. You know, I know that gasoline's like $4.11 a gallon right now, but I'm going to trust in another $4.11 in Philippians that says that my God shall supply, oh, come on, somebody, all my needs according to your riches and glory. See, I'm not going to go by the world's $4.11. I'm going by God's $4.11. Are you following me here? And I'm thankful for that. I thank you that I could put a couple dollars in. I thank you I have clothes today. Those are little taldas. I'm going to enter his gates, just into his gates, with little taldas. But I'm going to go into his courts with praises, tehillah in the Hebrew, which means a hallel. It comes from the word hallel. Now, hallel is an open show of praise. It means that I don't care who sees me. In other words, here, listen, let me put it this way to you. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus, and I'm not in the closet no more. I'm coming out of the closet. I don't care who knows it. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to sit at my desk because they cannot stop me from throwing up my hands and saying, thank you, Jesus. When I'm in the store, I'm going to bless your name. I'm going to say, thank you, Lord. I bless your name. I worship you. It's a foolish praise. It's a foolish praise. No matter where I am, I'm going to praise God. Because listen, watch this now. Foolish could be situationally. Now, you know what I mean by that. Watch. If you're sitting at your desk and your boss hands you a pink slip, Y'all know what a pink slip is. You just got fired. At that point, you throw your hands up. Hallelujah, Lord, I praise your name. To the world, you look foolish. Now, years ago, we used to have holy rollers in the church. How many of you remember the holy rollers? Few of you old heads in here. People hanging off the chandeliers and people rolling around on a cross. We were called holy rollers. I don't know. Sometimes I think we need to live up to our reputation. Come on, somebody in the house. But we could foolishly praise God even in the midst. So watch. I will enter his gates with a little tauda. Thank you, Jesus. That turns into Hallel and into his courts with praise and be thankful. The Hebrew word is yada. Come on, tell me what it is. In English, Judah. Let me show you what Judah is. It's a lifting of the hands. I'm going to enter his gates. Hallelujah. It starts out quiet. Bless your name. All to yourself. And it progresses with thanksgiving. I'm letting everybody know. I don't care who knows that I love Jesus. I'm like Paul saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's going to break into a yada. Yada. Throwing up my hands in surrender unto him. And then I'm going to bless. Barak means to kneel down. To get on my face before God. This was the protocol into the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament tabernacle. Because in the presence of God, in the Holy of Holies, is where the presence of God is. If you want the presence of God, because how many of you know in the presence of God there is a little bit of joy? Come on, Bible students, what is it? It's the fullness. You want fullness of joy? Here it is. Bless your name. I thank you, Jesus. I don't care who knows it. I'm lifting up my hands and I will bless your name, God. And then you receive the fullness of joy. Are you tracking with me, somebody? That's how we get into the presence of God. That's how we get in there. Now listen, this is all made possible by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I know you hear me talk about this all the time, but I want to make sure that you get this. When Yeshua, Jesus, hung on the cross, his last three words in English are, it is finished. In the Greek, it's just one word, tetelestai, meaning it's an accounting term, paid in full. The Bible says when he hung there and he stretched out his arms and with everything that he had left in him, it's a miracle that he could even yell that at that point. But he yelled out, tetelestai. The Bible says that the veil was rent in two. The veil, it prohibited people from going into the Holy of Holies where the presence of God was. Because sin prevented us from getting to the other side. Because all our sin is like written like a big invoice there. All our list, everything that we've done from the day we were born. God has it all. But the moment that Jesus said, tetelestai, the Bible says. Oh, come on, somebody. Our invoice. Our debt was paid forever. Now we have complete access into the glory of God. We have complete access into his presence. That's why the writer of Hebrews now writes, I can sheepishly go? No! I can boldly go. Oh my God, this is good news, somebody. I can boldly go before the throne of grace, making my request known. What a privilege it is for us saints of God that Jesus Christ stretched out his arms, gave up his life, that our debt might be paid, that we can now enter into the presence of God. Come on, somebody in here, give thanks to God Almighty for his son, Jesus Christ. Come on, Judah. He's made the way for us, and we're thankful. We need to be thankful in all things. Listen, church, when a hurricane comes, remain in the middle of the hurricane. Even though the storm is raging around you, the peace, there's calm, there's tranquility in the middle of the storm. His name is Jesus. No matter what you're going through, he's a way maker. Come on, we sing the song. Brother, he closed 5 doors on me. Thank God that he closed those doors. How many of you are thankful that God did not answer some of your prayers in the past? How many of you are thankful the door that you wanted opened would not open, and you were pouting, crying, calling all your prayer partners? That door was sealed shut. But years later, you look back. Yada. You throw up your hands in thanksgiving. Thank you, God. You kept me from marrying Mr. Wright. Oh, come on, somebody. Thank you, God, that I didn't hook up with Miss Fang. Come on, do I got a witness in the house? Somebody. So we need to be thankful whatever we're going through, church. I'm telling you, we need that so much in our society today. And I want to implore you, I want to encourage you, your children, your grandchildren, teach them to be grateful. Teach them to be thankful. And it doesn't start with the White House. It starts in your house. Even to this day, our eldest is 23. They're 21 and 20, or 19. Even to this day, after dinner, thank you for making dinner. Every day. In their 20s, they're grateful. Teach our children to be grateful for every little thing, but that started when they were 2 and 4 and 6 years old. Teach people to be grateful. I'm telling you, and when we're grateful in our hearts, when we give thanksgiving, I'm telling you, church, we will have, like Paul says in Philippians 4, and I'm done, we will receive the peace. How many of you need some peace today, for real? How many could use some peace today? Give thanks. Begin to give thanks. With your spouse, give thanks. With your brothers, your sisters, give thanks. And the peace, the shalom of God that passes all understanding, we love you, Jesus, will guard your heart and your mind. Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody give God a praise and stand with me, please.
I love you,
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 I love you.
All of my mind.
All of my mind.
To proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to every nation, every generation, to all creation, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Go beyond.
Go